Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score here on Highland. Coming up on tonight's programme, former Harps manager Anthony Gorman will be joining us for this week's League of Ireland chat. Derry City boss Rory Higgins has confirmed today that he's staying with the club. We'll be hearing from the Love of Vaddy man shortly. We'll also hear from Damien McAuleen as the Derry minor footballers are preparing for an All-Ireland final this weekend. And Harold McGuinness of Extreme North joins us to discuss the Inishowen Quadrathon, which incorporates four half and four full marathons. And that is taking place next month in August. But we are going to start with football. And on this week's League of Ireland Talk, I've been chatting with Anthony Gorman, the former Fun Harps player and manager, has been giving us his views ahead of Friday's games as Fun Harps host Bray Wanderers. And Derry City have a home tie with Sligo Rovers. But firstly, the new director of football at Letterkenny Rovers has been talking about preparing for a new season without intermediate football in the county. So, Anthony Gorman, good to be back on the airwaves of Highlands. Before we talk League of Ireland football, let's talk your new role, Director of Football at Letterkenny Rovers. And I suppose with no Ulster Senior League now, things very much strange around the Lakeview club at the minute, is it?
Yeah, I suppose it is a big change, Oisin, in the fact that you're not preparing for an Ulster Senior League season. But I think, to be fair, the people involved at the football club have been very realistic over the last number of years and realised that this was something that was going to probably more than likely happen down the line, where the Ulster Senior League as we know it or knew it would fall by the wayside. And we expected probably more help than what was coming from the FAI in terms of either trying to keep the league as was and try and attract new teams or come up with a new format for it. But to be fair, like as I said, like the people involved at the club, you know, were realistic enough to realise that, you know, if and when that the league did disband, that, you know, we'd be looking at the Donegal League. And, you know, so the preparation is very much geared towards the upcoming first division of the Donegal League.
Yeah, a division you were already in because you had a team, of course, playing in the Donegal League for the last number of years. Have you managed to keep many of your first team players, your Ulster Senior League players from last year?
Yeah, well, at the minute it seems to be that we're not too bad in that respect, where a lot of the players from last year have given a commitment to stay. There's still a few that obviously there's a wee bit of uncertainty about, because I suppose all the time, like, we would always encourage players to play at as high a level as possible, but, you know, unfortunately for us now at this moment in time, we're sitting in the second tier of Donegal League football, and I'm sure that there's some of our players will be attracting interest from Premier Division teams. But we're hopeful that the players we have, you know, and a lot of the players I've spoken to so far have given the commitment to stay. And we started back training there on Tuesday night and with a good turnout. And, you know, so our preparation is we're well advanced in terms of our preparation. And, you know, it's just a matter now of getting the boys back in the park and getting them prepared as best as possible for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I know you mentioned the FAI there, and I'm sure it's collectively felt by yourselves, Bunnagee United and obviously Cockhill Celtic as well, that it was a kick in the teeth from the FAI to you guys. You were very much left to your own devices in the Ulster Senior League.
Yeah, well, that would be, I know we've spoke about this quite a lot, Oisin. And my own personal opinion is that the FAI just left us to our own devices and see what we come up with. And unfortunately, there wasn't the appetite from other clubs. And I think the writing was on the wall. If you go back over within the last 10 years, like the likes of Kildrum Tigers and Buncrana Hearts, Swilly Rovers, Fans United, teams like Drum King were also in the league for quite a while. So when them teams started dropping out of the league, then you were very much reliant on Finn Harps and Derry City, the two senior clubs in the area, to top up the league with the reserve teams. And that obviously puts an added strain on them, because they're competing at League of Ireland under-17, under-19 level, and it's just an added an extra team and an extra expense on hard, you know, cash-strapped League of Ireland clubs as it is. So while they were committed to the league, it was, you know, and the Letterkenny and Bunnegee and Carthel were very grateful for them clubs for supporting the league. But ultimately, you know, it was never going to last with three club teams trying to keep the league going. And I think for too long what's happened up around here, Ashin, in respect of FAI and that, I think it's, you know, it's been a case of the tail wagging the dog too much, where, you know, the clubs, and you can't, like, I have no issues with clubs, you know, deciding to pull out of the league or whatever, but at the end of the day, and again, like, I always look at the Munster Senior League scenario, where you've got seven divisions of the Munster Senior League. It's one league, and the top three divisions are intermediate. And it's very simple. Like, they could have done that up here in Donegal, where you've got your divisions, your Saturday league and your Sunday league, and very simple, your top league's an intermediate division. And that, I've always felt that directive should have just come from the FAA. And, you know, I think it's too easy, you know, for the FAA to look up here and think, well, because there is an awful lot of clubs up in Donegal, and from the outside looking in, and, you know, football's would appear to be strong up here because of the amount of teams that we have. And there is a great, you know, Donegal is a great football county, but I just felt that, and I still feel that the FAA should involve themselves more in developing and promoting the game up in Donegal.
Yeah. Listen, there's three main clubs, and then obviously Finn Harps and Derry, who are losing out with the Ulster Senior League not happening from here on in. But is this going to be a scenario, Anthony, that's going to make the quality of junior football even better in the county? Is it going to help the Donegal Junior League? I know there's only five clubs involved, but there's going to be players that are free that are looking to stay at home and play football. So is it going to prove the league going forward for Donegal?
Well, if you looked at the Donegal League, anyway, like the top teams are not, you know, the quality is quite good anyway. Like, you know, I know, like, say Kilmacrenn, who's a local team to us here in Letterkenny. I mean, they have some really good players and a good quality of and a good standard of player, and that's just to name one team. So, like, the fact that Bunnegee and Letterkenny Rovers will be entering it, you know, their first teams, and, you know, it'll obviously strengthen the league, and it'll with the introduction of them into the Donegal League with their senior teams, it'll put a, you know, an emphasis on the other teams to improve as well. Like, and that, you know, competition, good competition makes for improvement and quality at all levels of football. So it'll certainly strengthen the Donegal League, there's no doubt about that.
And there's also, I suppose, if you add in as well that Finn Harps aren't going to carry an under-21, or as they were calling them, an under-21 team, there could be other players outside that 19 age group now from the senior clubs that are also looking for football.
That's right. I mean, Finn Harps and Derry City, now all they have to do is, you know, provide their football from up to under-19 level, and then, you know, if they deem the players that are going out at under-19 to be good enough, they'll obviously keep them on it for their senior teams. And then, but if they're deemed surplus to requirements, then you would think that they'd filter back down into the local leagues again, which will obviously make it a more competitive and a more attractive league.
Yeah. Well, listen, two players that have played Ulster Senior League and are back in senior ranks of football in the Northwest in the League of Ireland are the likes of BJ Banda and Tony McNamee, two players that you know well, Anthony, and they are two new signings at Finn Harps, two actual re-signings for Finn Harps because they were there before. And you can add in the rest of the players that have signed up over the last number of weeks, the likes of Stokes, Hutchinson, Watson, also Stephen Doherty and Patrick Ferry from a number of weeks ago. We could see a very much changed side for Finn Harps on Friday night against Bray Wanderers.
Yeah, it's... you know, it's the new signings, obviously, I suppose, the situation that Finn Harps are in the league. You know, they couldn't wait for the transfer window to open, and the players that they had signed, you know, up until last week, like Tony McNamee and Patrick Ferry and Stephen Doherty, like they have been signed for quite a while now, but they have, unfortunately for Finn Harps, they weren't able to play until after the 1st of July. So tonight will be the first night that they've, or Friday night will be the first night that they've actually got, or Dave Rogers has actually got the opportunity to pick these lads. And, you know, the players that we know, like Tony McNamee and Patrick Ferry and Banda, like you would expect, I would expect them to feature on Friday night. And then the other ones, the fact that they've come in, they've got fairly good reputations as well. So I'd say I wouldn't be surprised if Dave Rogers was to introduce all seven for the game against Bray Wanderers on Friday night. And I think it's something that, you know, the run that Finn Harps have been on, you know, it's a good opportunity to play these players, and you know, it'll bring a freshness to the pitch and also create a bit of interest among the supporters. And
can it bring instant success?
Well, with the players, like the likes of, say, BJ and Tony McNamee coming in, you know, players that we know, like Tony McNamee could turn a game out of nothing, like, and, you know, with his ability to create, and obviously his ability from his deliveries from set plays, his long throws, like there's an added weapon straight away. And then BJ Bandish, like we know all about BJ, and we've seen him over, like I've worked with BJ since he was a kid. And BJ's one of them players where he may not be involved in the game very much, but the next thing, out of nothing, he could produce a bit of magic and the ball be in the back of the net, Oisin. And that's probably something that Finn Harps have been lacking, is their ability to score enough goals during the season. Like, if you look at the games that they've drawn six games this season, you know, and three more goals and you know, and three of them, one more goal each in three of them games would have generated another 6 points for them. You know, and it's, goals make all the difference in terms of, you know, trying to climb up the table. And I think in Tony McNamee and BJ Banda and Patrick Ferry, who, by the way, had a good spell at Ballinamallard, came through the ranks at Derry City as well. You know, there's goals in him as well. So, I think Dave Rogers can be very happy with the bit of business he's done over the last number of weeks.
Yeah, I suppose the timing of this is good as well. The fact that they're playing at home against Bray Wanderers and they have a home tie, and it's sort of set up for what you hope would be a good night for Finn Harps on Friday, Anthony.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're 100% right there, Oisin. The fact that it is a home game, you know, people have been talking about these signings now over the last couple of weeks, and you know, there is a wee bit of excitement, and especially I think the fact that they're, you know, three of the boys I mentioned are local lads, you know, that'll create a bit of interest, and, you know, it'll get a bit of local support sort of going to see, you know, how these lads can impact the game. But also the fact, you know, the like Dan Stokoe and Max Hutchinson and Jamie Watson, like they'll be coming to see them as well, because they're, you know, players from that have experienced football over in England, and that's, you always want to see new players come in and do well, and I'm sure the Finn Harps public are no different than the fact that they'll be turning out tomorrow night to see the new players and hopefully get 3 points on the board for the Harps.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a good night for Harps tomorrow night. Just looking elsewhere at the division, I suppose at this stage now we're into the the second half of the campaign, Galway are the pace setters. Are they going to be caught, do you think, Anthony, or is it a case of them just seeing out the rest of the season?
I can't see it. I think, you know, I would have watched a few of the Galway games on LOI TV, and you know, they're very strong, Oisin. They're very, very well organised physically. They're well at it. You know, they're been led by two very experienced campaigners, and John Coffey and Ollie Horgan. And I think you can't really, what Galway have at the minute, you know, in terms of their management team, they have that League of Ireland experience and that know-how and how to get out of the division. And that's very hard to buy. And, you know, I think Galway, like, they've led the league from the start, and, you know, they will certainly win the division. And I think you've got Waterford and you've got Cove vying for the second and third spots, but I don't see anyone catching Galway. And like tomorrow night's a game where Cove are at home to Galway, third against first. But you know, Galway have seen off all the main challengers. And like, I watched there was a game recently where they played Bray, you know, and Bray's in fifth place, and they were up challenging near the top of the league at the time. And Galway blew them away. I think it ended up 6-0 rushing, but it was really a case of men against boys. So it's, you know, it's Galway for the title, and then you have another four or five then vying then for the playoff spots.
Yeah, we'll nip into the Premier Division, Anthony. Derry City against Sligo Rovers. There's a big Northwest derby here. Sligo have pulled off some good results since they returned after the break. Derry have dropped to third in the table. And I suppose all the talk this week around Rory Higgins being linked with the Barnsley job. Now, we understand that it looks like Higgins is going to stick with Derry and not make that move. But is it maybe a bit unsettling for the group that this is all out in the media and out in the open air as Derry prepare for a big Northwest derby?
Certainly, when you have a manager of one of the top teams in the League of Ireland, and he's linked with the job, and he's shown a bit of interest, you know, it can be a wee bit unsettling for players, and you know, it can lead to certain players questioning the manager's commitment. When you know, as a manager or a coach, you demand commitment and from your players, and you know, there's possibly you might get that question asked around the change room, you know, questioning his commitment. But at the end of the day, the opportunity to speak to Barnsley would be too good an opportunity to turn down. I mean, Barnsley are they're a very, very big football club around Yorkshire and England, and they've got a very proud history, especially probably at championship level. So Rory Higgins, you couldn't blame him for wanting the opportunity to talk to Barnsley, but Rory's also got a massive job in his hands at Derry City as well, Oisin. You know, and they have dropped to third place in the league. And, you know, we talked earlier on the season about teams challenging Shamrock Rovers, and we did think at the time that Derry City were probably in the best position to challenge Shamrock Rovers given the financial backing that they've had. But at the way things look at the minute, like, it's very much not, the gap isn't as big, but I personally can't see anybody similar to Galway in the first division. I can't see anyone really challenging Shamrock Rovers for the Premier Division team. I think that the team that's putting more of a push on now on behind Rovers is St Pat's, who are on a really good run of form since John Daly took over. So it makes for interesting viewing over the next few weeks, the League of Ireland Premier Division.
Yeah. And I suppose the fact as well, over the last couple of months, Derry have had their injury problems, and if they were going to be sort of title contenders and pushing Shamrock Rovers all the way, they would have needed their key men all fit, and that wasn't the case, Anthony.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, I know Mark Connolly was a big loss for them when he was out, and then when he came back, watched the game, he came back in against St Pat's, and he didn't look at himself, and he was maybe to blame for one of the goals that night. But I think when you're challenging for, or when you've got ambitions of challenging for a league, you need everything to go in your favour. Like, you need all your players to be fit, and you need your players to be performing well. And when you're, if you're losing two or three of your top players, like it doesn't matter at what whatever level you're at, if you lose one of your top players, it's you know, it has a big detrimental effect on your squad and your performance. But Derry City, like, you know, they do have a big squad, but at the same time, when you're missing players, say the likes of Michael Duffy and Mark Connolly, like that, they're two of the best players in the league, and any team would miss them. So they're hard players to replace.
Yeah, I did mention that Sligo pulled off a couple of big results in recent weeks. There was really only one, Anthony, and that was against Bohemians, where they won last week 3-1. And of the seven games before that, they actually only won two. One was against Shells, and the other was back at the end of May against Derry City. So their form in recent months hasn't been great, but it wouldn't be a surprise if they were able to pull off a result tomorrow night away from home.
It wouldn't. Sligo have that ability to pull off quite impressive results from time to time. It's probably the lack of consistency in their performances is why they're down in seventh place in the league. But they'll be going to Brandywell fairly confident and with a certain amount of optimism, because Derry City's home form isn't that good now. In 12 home games, they've only won 5. And I know that we've heard Rory Higgins in the past criticise the pitch at the Brandywell, and we've also heard a lot of the opposition managers criticising the standard of the playing field at the Brandywell. So it's a game where, you know, Sligo can go there with not so much pressure on them, but they will certainly be going with a degree of confidence, given the fact that they've performed well there this season already.
All right then, Anthony, that's it for today. As always, thanks for joining us, and we wish you the best of luck over the next number of weeks with your continued preparation for the new season ahead with Letterkenny Rovers.
Thanks so much, Austin. Thank you.
There you go. That's Anthony Gorman speaking to me earlier today, and that was recorded actually before Rory Higgins confirmed that he was staying with Derry City. We're going to hear from the Derry City boss now. The Candy Stripes have received a boost that Higgins was not appointed as manager off Barnsley. The English League One side have instead appointed former Sheffield United defender Niels Collins as their new boss. So it means Higgins will be in the dugout when his side entertains Sligo Rovers in the Premier Division tomorrow night. The Limavady man addressed the situation when he met with the media following the signing of the new man, 28-year-old from Scotland, Danny Mullen, earlier today. The Derry manager told Kevin McLaughlin that he is fully committed to the job in hand at Derry.
Looking forward to the rest of the season and what's ahead for us. We've worked extremely hard over the last couple of years. They have a strong group here, and although results have been up and down this season, we're confident that we're going in the right direction and we can take this club to a place that it hasn't been for a long time. That's been the goal from day one and will continue to be the goal.
But your head must have been turned off. Barnsley, it's a big club, just missed out on possible championship.
To be honest, completely out of the blue, the club receives an approach, and I was granted permission. I had a couple of conversations, and that's where it's left. And I certainly didn't put my name in the hat. That's for sure. I was approached, and the club were approached, and that's where that is. And we're really looking forward to the future at this club. I've been totally committed and will remain totally committed, and I love it here. Philip and Sean and the club have been absolutely brilliant to me from day one, and I feel we've returned the favour in some ways, but there's definitely more to come from us and brighter days ahead.
Chance for chance, obviously talked on Notts County last year was possibly a mutter of a muse. You know, English clubs are looking not just yourself, the League of Ireland and yourself in particular.
Well, I can control that, Kevin. I can control anything. All I can control is what we're trying to do here, and if people are seeing that we're doing good things here, that's brilliant. But we're totally focused on the job in hand here, and one thing for sure is my commitment that can never be in question.
It must be strange for you too that you're getting a striker in and your all our things are going on. It must have been difficult.
No, well, you have to do your job, and nothing was ever a foregone conclusion, believe me, and extremely happy here. Never been a reason for me to think otherwise. And I was saying that a striker, a really good player, he's got over 70 goals in Scotland, he's over 40 assists, he creates and scores goals, he occupies people, he brings people into play, so we're really excited to add him to the group, and we look forward to seeing him in action.
And Daniel Mullen, is it you're talking about there, is it a case of getting him hopefully available for Friday, or what's the object?
Well, we're working at it, we're working at it. It might be a bit late, but we're working at it. But Paul McMullen's clearance is through, so that's good news.
And obviously Daniel's done a bit of training, as you say, in here. He's looked sharp. He's just speaking to him there now. He's sort of saying, you know, the standard, brave and high, no matter who's in the squad, everybody's, it's a really good standard.
Aye, there's a good group here, and he knows that it's going to be competitive, and you can tell by him he's excited to get going, and he's a good player and a really good lad as well, so he'll definitely add a new dimension to the group.
And obviously after last week's sort of results, it's all bunched up again, you know, from the doom and gloom mentality. A few days later, everything's changed, as you know, with football, it changes like that. But it's just wanting to get a bit of momentum. Your point of view now is just getting this final flourish.
Well, it's our last league game for a month. So we need to try and pick up the 3 points and bounce in the Europe, where we know that captures the imagination. The people around here love European fixtures, so we're looking forward to that, but we've business to do on Friday, and hopefully we can get 3 points on the board, and then we can look forward to the rest of the season.
Sligo, you know yourself, a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, whatever it was, down at Sligo, giving you a defeat. They get a victory then there last week too, so they're going to come on with a bit of confidence after beating Bohemians.
Aye, it's a big one for them last weekend, definitely, and we know it's going to be, all the games in this league are really competitive. We know that, we're sick of saying it, we're saying the same things every week, and if you're not at it, you get turned over, so we need to be on the front foot. We need to try and get our supporters off the seat, give them something to shout about, and see can we get 3 points on the board.
What do you think about the injuries? Obviously
we're
Adam out,
we're in a better place. Obviously Adam's out. No, the long-term absentees are still out. Patrick's done a bit of training this week. Well, Patrick's done a bit of training this week. Michael Duffy has trained. Graydon's done bits and pieces. Paul McMullen's available, so we're definitely, although people aren't fully match fit, but we have more availability, which is really pleasing.
There you go, that is the Derry City manager, Rory Higgins. He's going to stay as Derry City manager, confirming that he's staying with the Candy Stripes and not moving to Barnsley in the English League One. And he made another addition to the squad today as well. Danny Mullen joining Derry on a long-term deal. The Scottish strikers played for the likes of Livingston, St Mirren, Dundee and Partick Thistle. And there's a full interview with Danny Mullen also available on our website. Go to highlandradio.com. That Derry Harps game tomorrow night at the Brandywell starts 7:45. There's an 8 o'clock start, of course, for Finn Harps in the First Division against Bray Wanderers. Jeremy Doherty will be there for Highland Radio Sport tomorrow night, and we will, of course, have live regular updates from that tie here on Highland tomorrow. Okay, the time is coming up to 25 to 8 on this Thursday night. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but stay with us here on The Score, because we still have a preview of the All-Ireland Minor Football Final to come, and we'll also hear about a really tough challenge, the Quadrathons, taking place in Inishowen next month.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with premium running footwear from top brands like Asics, New Balance, Brooks, Adidas and Under Armour. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score. We go to Gaelic Games. The Derry Minor Footballers will look to take an All-Ireland title on Sunday afternoon when they clash with Monaghan in an All-Ulster final at the Athletic Grounds in Armagh. Derry football is on a high with the seniors into the semi-finals, and now the minors are looking for a sixth title and a first since 2020. The man in charge of the Oakleaf side is Damien McAuleen, who guided Derry to the 2017 final only to lose to Kerry in that decider. This time around, Monaghan stand on their way, a side that they have met 4 times already this year. Well, it's been a busy season for Derry, and the Derry manager has been telling Michael McMullen they're always looking to improve, even going into a big final.
To be involved in the biggest day of minor football again, and I suppose for this group that haven't been involved in it before, it must be amazing.
Hi, it's first class altogether. There's a real good buzz about it. Obviously myself have been there before and stuff, and when I was in Croke Park, so there's a fair wee bit of experience, etc. I've been through before, and that, I suppose, helps us process everything and understand what's important, etc. Whenever you come out of all that. So, you know, we're very focused on the fact that it's a match to play. It's a team we have to go out and perform and play it like any other game, and you know, rectify things in our game that we wouldn't be that happy with, and you know, we're still striving to improve. Even though I think it's 14 games now we've played, so it's all about keeping our eye on the ball that way.
You had your battle with Donegal. Obviously, the Ulster final was like a different world at times, an excitement, and then you had your second half against Dublin, where you obviously a man down and had to come back. Now you've reflected on that. Where does that performance sit in terms of character? This team has shown with all you.
Aye, look, probably the second half against Dublin really just is probably the tip of that in terms of just, look, backs to the wall. Yes, we're 7-4 up and had played rightly in the first half, even though, again, we conceded a few goal chances with underestimating the pace of the Dublin left-hand forward in particular. I suppose he was cute on how he positioned himself. He sort of cheated a wee bit on the kick-outs and got away. So that's something we can fix, you know. But in terms of getting in at half-time and the blow of getting your goalkeeper sent off, it's a significant adjustment in today's game. Like for, you know, any of the big teams in the All-Ireland series this weekend, gets a keeper sent off, it's a real game-changer in the sense of the importance that's placed on the keeper. But so the boys coped with it. We got organised. Carr stepped in seamlessly. No problem to him at all. And the rest of the team lifted it for something serious in terms of their work rate and intensity. And the amount of turnovers we had in the second half was serious, you know. So the work rate overall looked unbelievable in the sense, you know, it looked like we had a spare man at times. And you know, that's testimony to, I suppose, the work that we'd done beforehand. You know, you'd have did wee sort of scenarios like that and training maybe for 5-6 minutes, look, lads, we're man down here, take a man out and let them understand what it is to try and break the other team down without the man and all that. So, you know, they had been through it before, so all these wee things sometimes come through for you, and that it did in this occasion.
Man on again, fourth time, good thing, bad thing, take it as it comes.
I think we're taking it as it comes at this stage. You know, you don't really have much choice. The two teams know each other really well, and that scenario, this game will be different. Like, every game's different. Like, that, none of the games we've played have taken on any sort of life that looks like the previous one, you know. And that's what I'd say this weekend. You see minor football, the ebb and the flow of it. Like, one week or one wee small thing can change the game in 5 minutes and give you 5-point swings in 5 minutes and all that type of thing. So referee indecision can give a team a lift and all this sort of thing. So, you know, it's a different field that's coming in. You know, all our games were different stages in their own right, and the Ulster final was the Ulster final, but let's see, this just is a totally different piece now, you know.
Just on Armagh, happy enough, or are you disappointed it's not in Croke Park?
I think overall you do have to be disappointed of these decisions that just, even the final in itself, to take it away from Croke Park is disappointing. It's one of these hard decisions you just can't understand who makes them. Are they football people at all, or what way they be thinking? Nobody really explains it terribly well. It's a bit like the under-17 decision overall. But it is what it is in this regard. You know, some of these boys will never get the chance to play in Croke Park. It's just, I don't think it'll be that big a thing for them to put it on before one of the other, even if it's not the final, it's on before an All-Ireland semi-final, or even this weekend, it's a third fixture, you know what I mean? It's just a big thing. But look, in terms of our context, we knew it was never going to be in Croke Park. We had a fair idea if us and Monaghan in the final was going to be back in Armagh. Yes, it is in the Monaghan's backyard. No question about that. You felt that at the Ulster final. We were massively outnumbered in terms of our support, so we will be looking for We were looking at the Derry supporters. I said on the TV after, like, we need the Derry supporters to get out and get to the match. Like, you just can't leave the lads to outnumbered to that level in a minor final. Like, these boys deserve the support, and hopefully people seeing the TV that they are definitely worth coming to see and supporting and getting behind, you know.
What's it like preparing minors now with the seniors being on this run? And I suppose the knowledge that some of those boys have played minor football, and maybe some of the lads now would have watched those minor games that you're involved in. What's that like now that, I suppose, it's on the other side of it?
A full cycle of it.
Is it an easier sell, if that's the right way to ask the question?
Aye, but funny, after 15 and you were with me on 15 mile, it was a sell at the start of the year, and you try to get the setup right, you try to get the environment right, you made sure they were well treated, they were well looked after medically, food, gear, and you set the environment up. Then we won the Ulster title. That was the first sort of cog in the whole thing. Then all the young lads around there were thinking, geez, I want to play for Derry Minor. Clubs at the same time were doing the work. You know what I mean? You can't just do that in isolation. So there's a lot of things sort of happened in Derry around, I suppose, over the last 10 years of foundations, recognition of where we were, recognition of the work that needed done, recognition of the top clubs that were doing the work, and other clubs then saying, right, geez, we need to get our act together. And you can see that now. There's more clubs producing more players and better players, and even the skill set of our own squad, the lads that are in the pitch can play anywhere, you know, because they've got the skills on both sides and all that. So there's a lot of work foundations goes into that around the clubs to send them up here on Saturday morning if they're good enough to be in a development squad, and then progress further again. So there's no doubt now the seniors now in the front shop window producing week and week and week, and the support back with them again is just class. That's just a totally different animal now in terms of lads looking to play for Derry. Like, in our own club, we have big numbers at underage. You know, last year we had sort of four or five latecomers in terms of joining up because they'd watched Derry. You know,
everybody wants to be a clucker here, Lynchy.
100%. These lads are at that stage, they're under nines, you know. So even at that age, they're sort of going out saying to the mothers and the fathers, here, I want to go and play because of that. So it's a real good example. We've seen it for our own eyes, that was happening. Like, so that's usually the impact.
Well, things seem to be going good in the county of Derry club-wise at underage, and they're playing that minor final on Sunday against Monaghan at the Athletic Grounds in Armagh. 1 o'clock on Sunday is the start time, and we'll have a number of updates in the afternoon with Michael McMullen, who will be at that game. It is going to be another busy weekend of club action here in the Northwest, in particular in Donegal. The Hurling Championship action continues starting the weekend, tomorrow evening, Friday. Carndonagh play Satanta, Dunloe take on St Eunan's, Airua play McCool's, and Birdrop against Buncrana. Well, in the Junior Hurling Championship tonight, Four Masters play Satanta, and then tomorrow Bird against St Eunan's and Letterkenny Gaels play McCool's. There's also several games across Saturday and Sunday being played in the football leagues. One of the standout ties, of course, would be that of Neave Connell and St Eunan's, who meet in Division 1 on Sunday. Neave Connell already through to the final. More than likely, it will be a dress rehearsal for the league final. They are, of course, going to meet in the championship as well. And Glenswally have a big derby match against Termon in Division 2 on a Saturday evening as they look to make it 12 wins out of 12 games. Now, moving on to a unique event which has been held in Inishowen next month in August, with the Extreme North Quadrathon. Now, it comprises of four marathons or four half marathons over four consecutive days. It's a big challenge for all involved and also is very rewarding. The event has grown considerably since it was first held over a decade ago. Aside from the spectacular scenery en route, including going through Mamore Gap, there's also the local hospitality and medals for each race that interlock to form a trophy if you do all four. Chris Ashmore has been looking at the event and he's been speaking with the organiser of the Quadrathon, and that's Harold McGuinness.
Harold McGuinness, organiser of the Extreme North Quadrathon. This is a truly unique event. It takes place from the 17th to the 20th of August. And in essence, there is four full marathons or four half marathons. So tell us a little bit more.
Hi, Chris. The Quadrathon, this will be a 10th year, 12th year, but two missed two over COVID. The quadrathlon is, as you say, quite unique in that people aren't running around loops. And if anybody knows any Shone before the Wild Atlantic Way, there was a thing called Any Shone 100, which is a 105-mile rate around Any Shone, and that's exactly what we're doing. So anybody also knows Any Shone will know that it's not a flat marathon. We have quite a few hills, including Mamore Gap as part of it, which is a feature of it.
It's four marathons or four half marathons in four consecutive days, starting on Thursday, August the 17th. Maybe tell us a little bit about each of the days.
Right. The important thing to know is that the quadrathon is structured to suit everybody. It's a walk. It's a walk and jog, or it's a fast run, whatever way you want to do it. And the way it's structured is that the walkers each day go out at 7 o'clock. Slow runners, anybody like over 5 hour marathon time would go out at 8 o'clock, and then the normal field would go out at 9 o'clock. And the same, there's a half hour difference in the half marathon. It's 10:30 for walkers and 11 for the runners. First day starts in Mobile, and it goes around Shrove and out past Kinnegal Bay and finishes up in Mallantown. I suppose one of the things that people think about in that situation is, well, how do I do this? How do I get there? How do I get back? That's all taken care of. We have shuttle buses. So the shuttle bus will pick you up before the start and take you to the start from the finish line, or vice versa, pick you up at the finish line afterwards and take you back to the start line if you have a car or stuff like that. So that's all made very simple. So even for somebody coming on their own with no support, still works perfectly. On day two, same format, they leave Mallantown, they go out round Glengad, up past the Crua into Mallinhead. I forgot to mention on day one, the half marathon starts at Kinnegal Bay. The half marathon always starts on the second half of the marathon. So then the half marathon then starts at Mallinhead at the pier, and then they come right round Mallinhead, Bambus Crown and Knockamani Bends, and they finish back in Mallin. So we start and finish in Mallin on the same day. The half marathoners, they don't need buses. The half marathoners are always bused from the finish line to the start each day. And so when they get back, their cars are at the finish line. Then on day three, they'll leave, which is one of the features of it. Terrifying feature, but it sort of seems to resonate with everybody afterwards. They leave Mallin, go through Kildaff, Clonmany, and Orris, and over Mamore Gap. And that finishes at the Youth Club in Buncrana on the Saturday. The half marathons don't escape the Mamore either, because it starts out past Clonmany. Day four is quite simple. It's basically a nice flat marathon. It's from Buncrana to Muff, and the half marathon starts at Muff, and everybody heads to Mobile.
So spectacular scenery throughout, and I'm sure after the fourth day, huge elation, huge joy, having completed such a mammoth task for so many people.
Oh yeah. Well, each day, when I started the quadrus from the beginning, I decided that anybody who completes the thing is the winner, is a winner as much as the winners. So the two things that's quite unique about the marathon also is that at the end of each day there's a buffet, so everybody gets something wholesome to eat. On the final day we have a sort of celebration, like almost like a proper dinner at the finish line. Each day everybody gets their medal, but on the final day we have an assembly and line, and the medal's very unique. The four medals screw together and form quite a large trophy. It's almost a bit of foot high. It's very spectacular. Believe it or not, some people do it just for the medal.
And you can, of course, you don't have to do all four. There are some people you can just do one, two, three, or four.
Oh yeah, exactly. You choose what you want to do. And in some cases, if people start on day one, it happens quite often, if people start on day one and they decide then they want to do another day, you end up maybe doing all 4 days. So that's okay. If you're signed in at all, then we accommodate any runner at that stage.
The feedback from previous years has been hugely positive. You know, the word has certainly got out.
We started off in the first 3 years with less than 30 people. No, now the target's like 300. Really, there's three aspects to why, you know, how the Quadrison grew, and it grew quite quickly over 3 years. The main one was word of mouth, because people could find no fault with it. They found that they come here. It turned out to be a social occasion for a lot of the runners, because a lot of them are going and running a single marathon and meeting people on the road, and they're here for 4 days, and it became a social event on their calendar. We look after them well, and then as well as that, then the medal is the other factor, and the logistics. You know, they can do this. They don't have to worry about transport. They don't have to worry about different things. It just happens. You come on your own. You have a car. You don't have a car. The thing works, and I think that's really why a lot of people keep coming back to it. We would have some people who have done all 10.
I'm speaking with Harold McGuinness, the organiser of Extreme North's Quadrathon, which takes place in Inishowen from the 17th of August to the 20th. Four races in 4 days, or you can walk them, jog them, get around any way you can. Harold, still possible to enter. You have a website as well, so if somebody is interested in signing up, they can still do so?
Yeah, the website, if they're going to Extreme North, and they'll be able to sign up there. Entries will be open. Well, I expect entries will be open for most of this month easily. No, I think so. It depends on how the entry levels go, and it's reasonably good at the moment. For your listeners, if anybody wants to sign up for the Quadrathon, whether it's one or all four or whatever they want to do, if they use a discount code Highland, as in HIGHLAND, and I'll set up a discount code for 10% off if anybody wants to sign up, and we keep that open for 2 weeks.
That's great. And just in conclusion, Harold, you know, just to stress again, this is a truly unique event. There is nothing like it anywhere in Europe.
There's nothing, no. That's like, you know, the participants, the breakdown of the participants are roughly 60% from the island of Ireland, and 40% from overseas, which is mainly UK, France and Germany. So when they're coming here, and I mean coming here regularly, no, that says a lot about it.
And I think the abiding memory that people take away from it is the spectacular scenery and hospitality.
Oh, yeah, they'd be buzzing. They'd be buzzing when they cross that lane on the Sunday. They'd be buzzing, you know, and then the medals and everything. And the hospitality, no, they just absolutely love it.
I don't know if it'd be buzzing, a bit more tired after completing four marathons in 4 days. But listen, if it's something that interests you, you can get all the details, of course, on the Extreme North website. And if you are registering for the event, which is taking place next month, if you use the code Highland, you will be eligible for a discount. And the very best of luck to anybody who even thinks about taking on that challenge, because it really is a difficult one, but it's a challenging one. And as they said as well, it's a very rewarding one. Just on the soccer front, Vera Pauw's named close to a full-strength side for this evening's friendly with France at the Tallaght Stadium. Courtney Brosnan starts in goal, and there's a back four of Heather Payne, Louise Quinn, Nephi and Megan Connolly. In the middle of the park, it's Rashisa Littlejohn, Denise O'Sullivan and Sinead Farley. Captain Katie McCabe and Marisha Shiva are providing support for Carissa up front. Kickoff there is at 8 o'clock. It's underway in about 2.5 minutes' time. As for the Donegal girls, Amber Barrett and Ciara Grant, both are named among the Republic of Ireland substitutes. And of course, this is the final warm-up game before they head down under and head for the World Cup finals, the first, of course, for Ireland. Just some of the other fixtures this weekend in athletics. The National Juvenile Track and Field Championships, day one, are taking place in Tullamore and Offaly this coming Saturday. There will be quite a few Northwest competitors heading that down that direction and hoping for medals. And the latest round of games in the Northwest Cricket Premier League is taking place on Saturday. Among the games Kelly Clooney are taking on Dunamana. Kelly Clooney are the leaders at the moment. Second place, Brady, are on the road as they go to Ballyspallin. And third place, Brigade, are on the road as well as they take on Bonds Glen. Donegal side St Johnston are playing New Buildings in one of the other fixtures at the weekend. So there you go, that's the score programme for tonight. Our next sport here in Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. As always, what's left of your Thursday. Enjoy it, have a good one. Have a very good evening.